Everything else can wait. Give me your word. I hope I'm not too late. Oh, give me your word. Everything else can go away. Oh, give me your word. I hope I'm not too late.
Amen. These are seasons of the immersion of the Spirit, seasons of the outpouring, and God is jealously, jealously pouring His Spirit upon all flesh. In Psalm 42 from verse 1, I'd like to share a few things with us before we pray. Psalm 42 from verse 1. It is projected, everybody. Can we read together as loud as we can? One, two, go. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. A hart is a matured male deer. So it's equivalent to as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Next verse, quickly. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? A yearning for fellowship, a yearning for koinonia, a yearning for intimacy, that my soul thirsteth, panteth, and my longing is, when is the next appointment? When is the next time I will appear before His hallowed presence? These are the meditations in the heart of the psalmist. In verse 3, he says, my tears have been my meat day and night. The reason why I'm crying is, although I am always appearing before God, although I am always expecting and anticipating the next appointment, but the enemies, the mockers, the accusers, they say unto me continually, where is thy God? You who is always around church, you who is always panting after Him, the sons of this world can look at you and say, which advantage do you have that we don't have? What advantage is in your life with all this holy, holy thing you are doing? In case you have never been brought to that place, it's a season no man can escape, especially if you want to be serious with God. The people will look at your life and they will want to give you a reason to believe that your choice have put you in a disadvantage. They will want you to believe that with all of the life of consecration, holiness and purity you have given yourself to, what advantage is in your life that they don't have? Look at verse 4. When I remember these things, that after all my appearing before your presence, the people can say, where is thy God? He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I joined many people to attend an akazu. I had gone with the multitude. I went with them into the house of my God. With the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude. It means when people were shouting, I also joined them to shout, as though my landlord is not on my head. When people were rejoicing and dancing, I danced with them, as though I was not grieving on my inside. This particular psalm is a cry for two things. Number one, is a desperate plea for more of God. Number two is a desperate cry for results and proofs. That let this thing that I am engaging with you, let there be something in my life that can be an attestation that I didn't waste my time. I'm not wasting time calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time calling upon your name. I'm not wasting time. Oh, 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 careful. If you are not careful, if you ignore the things I'm trying to share with you this night, you will enter a season that will make it glaring to you that you are secretly frustrated, or you just don't have the liver to ask God questions. The reason why many people easily cry during worship is because they are actually piled with many disappointments, things they cannot tell their father. Meanwhile, God is your father. They feel it is a crime to ask God some question. For instance, when something happens to you, I don't think you should cry more towards men than God. God, this thing, I don't like it, but I accept your will. Even Jesus, who for us is the template and the standard, there were matters where he told the Father how he was feeling. Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But I know what your own will is on this matter. However, not my will, but thine. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you, because of purity, because of righteousness, because of upholding the standards of holiness, you have failed and you have been removed from many business deals. There are job opportunities that you were overlooked for. Promotion opportunities that they sideline you for because of the principles that your life represents. And somehow, if those conversations are not brought out, somehow you will find yourself naturally hating sinners, becoming very bitter against them because of the things you have lost in your quest to live holy. Have you heard you cannot eat your cake and have it? That will become your disposition towards sinners. And you will have an itchy ear waiting for the doom that should await them because of the fact that they have eaten their cake in your eye. I want to show you an ancient mystery tonight. I want to show you where the righteous fall. This is what you will eventually apprehend from the parable of the prodigal son. You will see that there are the two types of believers that are in the household of the father. There is one that is an outright selfish, self-centered, and an ill-informed believer. But he still claims the name of the Lord, but he cannot depart from iniquity. He is infantile, always helpless. His favorite prayer is, I'm sorry, I've sinned again. There's another one that have denied himself many pleasures of this world for the sake of pleasing the Father. And he gets easily offended, not just at sinners, but even at the benevolence of God. I will show you from scriptures a few things that will help us appreciate the season
God has brought us into and how to maximize it. It will interest you to know that the Bible began that parable by saying a certain man. And this is how Jesus introduces parables. That a certain man has two sons. And at this point of the parable, two of them are sons. And they are sons indeed. But then he began to show you that the younger son developed ambition. And his ambition was to assess things that are at the disposal of the father. Things that the father would have controlled. Anytime he needed it, it would have still been his own. But he didn't want dependency. He didn't want to be asking. He wants to have control over his own affairs. And the first thing that parable began to show us is that the moment you have independence, your independence will take you out of the house of the father. The only way that you can handle wealth and it will not corrupt your soul is if it is portrayed, if it is perceived as a trust, that you know that it belongs to God. I am only entrusted with it. If a sense of possession comes between you and anything in this mundane world, it will take you out of the house of the father. Look at how the parable started. The younger one came and said, give me my own. So it is his own legal, his legal inheritance. Give me. He didn't ask for anything illegitimate. My own share of the inheritance. And the father did not resist. The moment it is entering the guy's hand, this is the guy that has lived inside the father's house all his life. But the fact that it was no longer called the father's own is now my own. The Bible says it led him into a far country. Any pursuit of increase, any pursuit of wealth, any pursuit of material substance outside the principles of God and outside God's purpose, it will lead you into a strange land. Many have strayed. They have been wounded, pierced with all kinds of that because of this same matter. It is because of this matter, that's why the concept of selling your soul was brought into scripture. And it will interest you to know that to sell your soul does not require any sacrifice. To sell your soul does not require any blood covenant. To sell your soul means to put away the principles and the recommendations of God and then accommodate another culture in your pursuit of increase and physical gain. Many have sold their soul. Many. The moment what you need to trade in order to assess anything becomes the veracity of your spiritual standing, the health of your soul, it means what you paid for that thing was your soul. I was told of a story of a lady who was owing someone maybe 150,000. 150,000. And you know these loan apps, how they are very, you know, sometimes I just wake up and I see a text message from a loan app. They want to blackmail somebody. So they say, don't trust so-so person. He's a fraudulent person, a thief. Please mark him and avoid him. In my mind, I say, what have this brother done now? So they send those text messages to malign your image to all the contact they know you have. And so she was desperate. In that desperation, an Alhaji said, I know that you don't know a man, but I will sleep with you only once. I will give you 500,000. In that situation, the shame, the risk involved with the people who come and retrieve the loan and the threat and the lack of peace, it was mounting pressure on the lady. The moment this lady, even if she thinks about falling, what she's about to exchange, the price she's about to pay, is not her body, it's her soul. It is her soul. The health of her spiritual life that was being exchanged if she considered that part. That's why Jesus says, what shall it profit a man? If it is even possible to gain the whole world, and what you lost was your soul. The guy didn't stop loving the Father. It's just that he now loves something more. The guy did not stop calling the Father, Father. It's just that now something else is leading his life. Imagine that because of resources that entered his hand, he traveled into a far country. Something he has never done in his life. He journeyed into a far country. And in that far country, he began to live righteously. So what is the challenge in his life now? Tell somebody, resources. You know, the things many people are praying for, the things many people are asking for, in the realm of God, it is not a challenge. It can be done anytime. But the question is, will God still have you in shape? Will your soul still maintain its integrity? Or because of one open door, your eternal destination will become questioned. What shall it profit a man? People don't know. They don't know the risks involved. That is why when they look at, I see a lot of people say, what is the need for long life if all your days you suffered? And it is a popular Yahoo boys quote. They say, who long life help? So they are willing to momentarily for 7, 8, 10 years live in wantonness and then die untimely. Meanwhile, they don't realize yet that the life itself does not end here. There is an eternal existence that they are going to give account for, and they will now have an eternity in damnation. I don't know why people don't do that much. So he says, teach us to number our days so that we may incline our hearts unto wisdom. It means the consciousness of eternal reality will supply wisdom to you in every matter. When you want to take a step and you remember that, you see, there is a constant eternal meditation that the soul of man must sustain if we must continue to see the big picture. What is marriage in the light of eternity? What is children in the light of eternity? What is a robust bank account in the light of eternity? What is a house, a car in the light of eternity? It will interest you to know that everything I've listed, they will all remain here. None of them have the capacity to journey with you into the great beyond. So there is no proof that you owned any of those things when you cross into an eternal existence where you will spend forever. I've caught glimpses of the sorrow of a soul that is separated from God. It leaves shiver in my body. You will be lost in eternity, in utmost darkness, and in sorrow and anguish. Then you will realize that the totality of your days on this side of the divide is just like a handful of bread. So while one category of believer are constantly living in worldliness and trying as much as they can to appear like they are holy and only have appointments with God, no relationship. So they only have appointments. While we have a category of believers who are only self-centered, look at the statement of the prodigal son. Give me my own share, my own. I really don't like this arrangement of having to ask you every time. I really don't like the fact that I will need to be asking for every need. Let me have control over my own too. But mammon is not something you can control on your own. It is known to master the souls of men. This is why the Bible gave it a statue of a deity. It says you cannot serve God and mammon. It means you don't own money. Money owns you if you are not born again. And if God has not helped your soul. This is why when you look carefully at the culture built around this thing called money, you will find that it is even better for those who don't have it. They have more peace. The people who accumulate it more, they lose more sleep trying to get more of it. Then you will be asking yourself, what mystery is this? That a man ought to say, I already have enough. It's something you will never hear in the rich man's mouth. I have enough. He is working harder than a poor man. A poor man sleeps by 8 p.m. A rich man is awake by 3 a.m. Phone calls, meetings, business deals. He cannot rest because his soul is under a government. And the more he gives himself to this pursuit, the more he realizes that there is no peace, no rest inside this journey. Haven't you heard of billionaires committing suicide? That they come to a place where the totality of their estimation of their life is emptiness. That was the only thing left for Solomon to do. If you are a student of scripture, you will hear the dark utterance that began to leave his mouth. He began to analyze his life that it is meaningless. The last thing remaining is suicide. Vanity upon vanity. He came to a point, he thought about his wealth, and he said, now, a strange child will come that does not know about my labor, and then he will come and waste all of this. He said, vanity upon vanity is vanity. Another day, he stood in his balcony, and he looked about the way people wake up very early. Almost like they ring a bell. Cling. Wake up this night by 2 a.m. and see the silence in the world. Quietness. Your street will be empty. Come out that night by 1 a.m. Now, if your area is safe, don't. Come out by 1 a.m. and look at the sky. Look at the street. Look at the roads. You will realize that the only thing that changed is the earth. The heaven was the same. Almost as though they rang a bell. From 6, 8, some people from 4:30. Look, let me tell you one truth. We have legitimate needs, legitimate areas of demands in our life that necessitates that we go out and make something, at least because of the responsibilities on our shoulder. But your life cannot be totally about looking for something all the time. There must be a system you build into your life to bring you like a retreat, to remember that all these things, I will leave it one day. I will leave it in the midst of my... The moment your breath leaves your nostrils, none of your pursuit is your own again. Now, what do you have? My brother, you see this wristwatch that you put like this, that you are feeling yourself, it will not be your own. The thing I'm trying to tell you is that everything that you labored for physically here has no link with you when spiritual transactions are done. And this is a message that is gradually fading away from the church. Teach us to number our days so that we may incline our heart. There are fathers here. There are fathers listening to me online. Go back to your family quickly. At the end of your life, what truly matters is not just what you accumulated. What you will be remembered for are the lives of the people you impacted. It is not always about accruing. There must be periods in your life where you step on the brake. Sometimes take a weekend. That weekend you are off. Some people walk, they wake up early, sleep late at night, and the only time they have, like a weekend, like a holiday, they are in clubs, they are in beer palace. you leave work, you that woke up by 5 a.m. from this job, what time do you have to meditate on eternal things? Almost like the totality of your existence is kept inside a simulation to keep you busy all the time so that you never have time to contemplate on eternal matters. From work straight to a beer parlor. If your friends don't see you, they are calling you. Baba, where you there now? This place, they happen. And like a zombie, you see them speeding as though something will spoil if they don't reach there. Then from work that you are tired, straight to a club. From club, you come home drunk. And then you put your head on the pillow. And then by 5 a.m., the cycle starts again. Tomorrow, you do the same thing. Look at where your life is heading to. Build this thing in a repeat for 40 years and see what you have become. Go back to your family. Go back to your family. There are children that need supervision. They need somebody's eye to be watching them. You don't even know how your children are doing in school. There are mothers who are not present because they do not know the things that carry value in the realm of God. Part of the things you'll be rewarded for is the capacity to raise a godly generation. That is a ministry every parent has. It is better you never give birth. But the fact that God entrusted you with children, He gave you a ministry. A child is a ministry. There are formative years in the life of a child where, like a farmer, you are watching for the weed. You see any funny behavior, it can be corrected then. Later, when you lose the opportunity to mold, He says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. I didn't like Jesus from the beginning, and I'm not ashamed to acknowledge my shortcomings. My parents made sure they were supervising whether I was in service or not. So after Sunday meeting, they will ask me, what is the today's topic? And if by mistake they want to make it more difficult, which color of suit did Pastor Kumuyi wear? That's where they separate the goats from the sheep. A time came, we became very, very skillful, because we will not return home until we have known the topic of the day. We will ask questions. I've been waiting to preach today. Now, I did not know why, as far as they were concerned, you can continue with this, your hatred for the house of God, but we will be correcting you. We will be making sure you attend it. What they were doing is that they know that they can only plant a seed. And that seed they are planting, a time will come when an atmosphere, an environment will be conducive enough for the seed that has been planted to germinate. Many of us did not get our salvation under our parents' roof. Some of us, it is the things they installed in our life that made sure that as we left home, we met children from all other kinds of home. And no matter the kind of peer pressure, there is only how far we could fall. Because like a virus, your parents infected you with God. They made sure that something resonates every time you wanted to take a step. They knew that they will not stay with you forever. So the brief period they have, they made sure they exposed you. Layers of scriptures. Most of the Bible verses that have registered in my soul, it was my children, church teacher, that taught me. They made us recite memory verse. We memorized a full psalm. And today, I am excited anytime I see them still on that same ancient project till today. We had men who have gone to complete Bible school, the total workers training course of the Deeper Life Church, but their jurisdiction is children's church. I'm talking about people who are highly placed in their respective secular engagement, but their jurisdiction, their ministry, like Daniel said, my place is here. He comes from the work tired. You see him with his suit, but he's coming into children's church. That is where he teaches. And then they use all kinds of teaching aid. Cartoons. Our small minds were being engaged. We were being engaged. Before you know it, the things other children did and nothing pricks them because of the things that they have exposed our soul to, you will be in the midst of them and be feeling uneasy. We didn't know that what our parents did worked until we went outside the house. Then we realized that even a club was a noise for us. The first day I tried to go to a party out of peer pressure. They say, you, it's graduation party. Everybody from the class will just go. It's the last meeting we are meeting. As I went into the place, it was as the you know, in parties, their speakers are very loud. The sound, it was making my chest. So I was inside the party and I was feeling fear, like something will happen to me. Have you heard boom before? Meanwhile, other people were shaking their head. Listen, the first day a lady did like this for me, fear entered my soul. Fear. My father used to gather us after every morning devotion. Sometimes he would say, your life is like a glass. You know that glass of a lamp? Many of you don't know it. There's one lamp like that they used to wash the glass from time to time because of smoke that has accumulated. And if you mistakenly break that glass, so my father says, your life is like an egg, all that glass. You can be throwing it up and catching it and think you are an expert. That the day it will fall. It's a ministry. It's a calling. It's a ministry. There is nothing God does with my life that my parents will not receive an accolade, an inheritance, a reward for raising a godly seed. The process of raising a generation is a tedious one. You will need to be deliberate about checking where are the little foxes. Meanwhile, Satan has programmed many things that can catch our attention and take us away from the things that have eternal resonance. So back to my scripture in Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son suddenly found out that now that he has his own money, why do I need to stay under the roof of my father? I'm not talking about living from hand to mouth. If you think that's what I'm trying to make a reference to, I'm talking about living like you are a trust. You are just a channel. Look at what he told the elder brother when he came to complain, because I will get back to the elder brother. The elder brother says, all this while, me, I have been at home serving faithfully. I have never caused any challenge. I have obeyed all your law. But this one that has taken your inheritance and live righteously, you are rewarding him. Not for once have you given me even one kid and say, me and my friends should go and celebrate. The father looked at him and said, all that I have is thine. That is assets. What the prodigal son wants is possession. What the elder brother has is assets. All that I have, it is the father's own, but it is thine. You have access to it. You can take anything, but it is me that have it. That is the way to interact with wealth. All that you have that is at your disposal belongs to God. I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want. That's why he says seek first. Seek first. Seek first. In terms of priority, seek first. In terms of emphasis, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Seek ye first. There are other things that we will pursue, but let your main agenda be his kingdom. And this is unfortunately where many, many people have found themselves. They are a son, yes, but they are prodigal. Let me give you some signs so that you use that to check yourself, because we should examine ourselves deliberately whether we are still standing in the faith. If you find out that you are more conscious of your needs, your desire, your goals, your agenda, when you pray, it's a sign that you are prodigal. That inside prayer, the majority of your references is me, myself, I. Carry your expectation card and check now. For the prodigal sons, we'll see ourselves. In 2025, if I don't care whether you write by the special grace of God, I will be my. You don't want to check it? How do you seek his kingdom? How do you make his desire your priority? That is one of the ways to know whether your heart has been seduced by this great clash between light and darkness. Now, when we look at this matter carefully, you will realize that it always pleases the Father to give to us. But he gives to us in the light that our soul will not be corrupted. Jesus was teaching this principle using the parable of the prodigal son. That there is a way a man can handle something that he asked God for, that the moment he enters his hand, it leads him away. It lures him out of the Father's house. It is in the light of this, some prayers not answered is God's mercy. I know it's the season of bringing forth. And everybody has one or two areas of their life where they are particularly trusting God that they will see proofs and results. But in the light of these things, make sure that the price you are paying is not the health of your soul. That you remain ever fervent, ever awaiting the appearing of the bridegroom, ever standing pure before his holy presence, your garment unspotted, your hair lacking no oil. That in the midst of your pursuit, you don't live like the Gentiles. The way they live, the perpetual meditation of their heart is how to accumulate, how to get. What next? Even on their bed, their dreams is still about money. There is no time for eternal things. You know, yesterday, I was seated at home and I received a call. A dear sister of mine that we used to be in the same fellowship on campus. She was just leading worship in an all night, a day before yesterday. And she was singing, which means she continued to labor even after campus. She was leading worship with her hand lifted up like this. And then she knelt down. While kneeling down, she was raising a song and her spirit left her body. And when she swung, because she was already kneeling down, it didn't look like an obvious incident. So they assumed that she came under power. And they continued singing. But it pleased the master that she would take her journey, her flight would happen from her duty post. Your breath, it can leave your body anytime. I am talking about somebody who is worshiping, and that was where she left from. You, every step you are taking like this, you know, you even have mind to climb steps without Jesus. You have mind to sleep and wake up the next day without Jesus. I advise a brother to delete pornography from his phone You have mind to be carrying pornography. What if you die? Do you know the eternal flames of hell? Do you know the sorrow of eternity in damnation? No matter how much they try to hide this thing from you, your soul is gravitating either towards eternal glory or eternal damnation. And the damnation I speak about is a lake of fire. The fire is alive. The fire has a technology within it, built into it, to afflict men. It has worms inside it, maggots, whose purpose is to burrow, to dig into people and cause unimaginable pain. It was not designed for men. He says, prepared for the devil and his angels. And men, because they think they are wise, how shall we escape if we neglect this great, great salvation? And many of us, the prophecies left in scripture have found expression in our head that a generation is coming that will be so engaged with their pursuit, and they will say to themselves, it was said in the days of our fathers that behold he cometh, and he didn't come. We will eat, marry, and give unto marriage. And he says, like a thief in the night. So all the message, all the sermon, I don't care how many keys you found, the mysteries in your daughter, if you don't have Jesus, you are doomed. My fear, my biggest fear, is after I have preached this message, me, myself, now become a castaway. Do you know how demons will mock you? Do you know the mockery waiting for people? I know why you don't resonate with this truth. You are like an experiment that demons are working on. They make sure your mind, your mind is detained under many consciousness except eternity. You are planning for wedding. You are going online, checking wedding gown. You are pricing suits and shoes. You are texting a lady. You don't know that your life is a breath. It can leave you anytime. After preparing for every mundane thing, you are not prepared for eternity. And many people die into questionable eternity, and we sugarcoat it. Some people, there is no responsible picture they even have. So they have to go and edit something, because people need to see that maybe he made it to heaven, because they want to write call to glory, heaven at last. Call to glory. A man that God has given ample opportunity, he has downtrodden the grace of God, he has gotten used to living in sin and looking for one or two scriptures to suppress the voice of conscience. And he continues in that until Satan traps him in an evil day. Have you ever been in an encounter where you suspect demonic presence and you wanted to escape? You wanted to escape by waking up, and then you found out that you could not move. You couldn't move your body. So, since you couldn't move your body, you wanted to now shout the name of Jesus, the Jesus you don't talk to normally. Then you now realize that the demon detained your vocal cord. So, you were trying to say, Jesus. That is how helpless you will be in the evil day. In your mind, you will repent quickly. They will not give you the opportunity. You will try to call upon his name, but it will be hard to come out. That's where tears fall from people's eyes. They know that, God, they get me. Those days when I used to go to the hospitals, I was talking to a man. He said, "He is only malaria that brought him here. It's not a serious matter. I should not worry. I should go and talk to the other people. Only malaria." I said, "Sir, it's not because of death. That's not why we receive Jesus. Even for the life that you have to live, Jesus will bring quality to your life." He said, "Go and talk to the right place." Kabani. So I went, prayed for the second woman, prayed for those who are needing healing, who are born again, just needing healing. I left. The man who went into hospital for holy malaria is the only person that died inside that ward. Now, those days I was working with biogeneric. So, my place of primary assignment was hospitals. Always, every 5 days of the week, I will be going to government hospitals. The only person that died in the ward is the one who came with a small case. 2 questionable eternity. Lost forever. Eternal damnation. Eternal doom. I don't know how else to present what I want you to see. There is nothing you can compare to the value of your soul. Nothing is worth it. It is better that you are a pauper in this world. It is better that you are maimed in this world and you entered into life complete. Hi, Jesus says, if your left eye will lead you to sin, remove it. If your hand will lead you to sin, cut it off. There is no price that is too high to pay for the sake of your eternal destination. It is better that you live disadvantaged inside this world than to live in bounty in this world and lose your soul. It's not easy. See, I repeat it again. It is not something to even imagine that your story is concluded. Your case is judged. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, condemned unto eternal flames. That you and Satan now ended up the same place. A spirit that is known to have a much more superior stature. A spirit that was designed with a material that is not earthly. They prepared a place for that spirit. You now decide that 2 of you will go there together. Has physical fire burned you before? Maybe you are trying to own a matches and you held the matches for too long. Then the small side of the flame now touch. Yes. Did you know the kind of pain you felt? Hellfire is not that fire. This one, they prepared it for spirit. Have you seen a demon before? If you see some demonic forms, their skin is like a shell, like a tortoise shell. So some of them look like rocks. They built that fire with them in mind. The way they are hardened is the fire that can torment them. You with your soft skin like this. Aye. You see that lady that we think about her, you cannot control yourself. You will forget all the pleasure that you ever experienced on the earth. Your first 2 minutes in hellfire, it will delete all your memory of pleasure. In fact, before they throw you inside, the moment they are telling you that so now you sabi. Meanwhile, there is another thing happening somewhere else. It's an eternal glory, an exalted existence. And see the tragedy. Those in hell can see those in heaven. That somebody passed, you know, say, oh no. Then a demon said, no, worry yourself, he no go hear you. That somebody passed, you know, say, oh no. Then a demon said, no, worry yourself, he no go hear you. Abraham, please beg Lazarus. Beg him to dip his hand inside that water I see him drinking there. Now Abraham says, there's a vacuum, a void between us and them. Nothing can cross from there to here. Here is next appeal. Please, can you send people? I agree that I am doomed. Send people to go and warn my brothers. I don't wish this for anybody. I know why it does not grieve your heart that your parents are not born again. It does not grieve your heart that your siblings are not born again, because even you too, you don't know where you are heading to. You don't know the risks involved. Hi. It is better that you lost in this world, huh? And you gained in your resurrection. If only in this world we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. When they are allotting crowns to people, when they are allotting glories to people, they are giving cities to people, there is another category, the rebellious ones. He says, he will separate the sheep from the goats. In your mind now, you will think you know what you are doing. The average man thinks that he has a witness in his spirit that he knows what he is doing. And there is this arrogance Satan continues to lure men into. So that when it is too late, that is what I... Let me use that story. A young Christian woman began to enter her prime. Suddenly she began to get the attention of different alhajis. Before you know it, she began to travel with them to Mecca. Before you know it, she said she is now, what do they call a female alhaji? A hajia. So she denied her faith. Before you know it, she began to spread money as a publicity tool to prove to you who is trying to claim that you have a God. So who is better now? It was not up to 15 years. She came down with a strange sickness that medical tools could not diagnose. And they took her from one clinic to another. But she was pressing, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus. But as at then, the devil had put her in a place where he needed her. The same story I just shared with you, something similar just happened a few days ago. Many have denied him. And in this present world, they found out that Satan is not a good rewarder. He never rewards anybody that serves him well. He truncates their life in the midst of their death. Let me tell you something that was designed to be an encouragement for the believer. Is that our hope is not only in this world. So that no matter what is going on in your life, when you remember that this is just a handful of bread, one day this one will soon be over. I will not beg him to be proof and attestation that we are in alignment with God. It's even lacking in this generation. Jesus says a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you too. So one of the proofs that you are living in alignment is that you will be hated by the world. Now, why do the world love you? Because we are prodigals. The moment the prodigal son left home, he made new friends in the world. We are still sons. We come to church every Sunday. We mingle with spiritual things, but our friendship is with the world. Says, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? You see, the gospel is offensive. It's offensive. I didn't know that early. The true gospel is offensive to the carnal heart. If they hear it, they get angry at you. Jesus was preparing your heart that if you will follow me, you will need to deny yourself. The only criteria is self-denial. Take up this cross. It means there are many things you will suffer, many things you will miss because of Jesus. Oh, how I long to be where you are, where flesh would no place in me, where you with a smile will be proud to call me own. Oh, how I long to be where you are, where self would find no place in me, when you with a smile will be proud to call me own. Oh, my home, oh, my home, heaven, my home, oh, what a joy to be. One day you will go to bed and you open your eye in another ecosystem. One day you may be sleeping in an aircraft and you open your eye somewhere else. It is appointed unto men once to die. The only thing you can choose is how you died. But whether you die or not, no matter how many times Jesus healed you from sickness, you will still die. Everybody healed in scripture still died. Death is a reality you must prepare for. A woman called me. I need to see you, Apostle. I said, what is happening? Let's talk on the phone. She said, no, it's very serious. Where are you? I'm in the hospital. You are sick? No. I'm about to enter the theater. I said, what is going on? I'm pregnant. I said, okay. Let me go and see her. When I went, behold, it's a woman that I've never met before. She got my number from somebody. And she said, I want to tell you, sir. This child that I'm about to give birth to is not my husband's one. What I want you to... What do you mean by hey? You are covering many... You are carrying a secret that will eventually expose you in eternity. Meanwhile, there is nothing you hide in this life that will not still be made known. So she said, please, sir, I just need you to... I want to confess to somebody in case. You know, that process of childbirth is almost like you died and you came back again. So fear entered her heart that what if you died? In case, I said, madam, you will not die. You will not die. She said, Apostle, you don't understand how I'm feeling. In case I don't survive, please find the time and help me tell my husband that I'm sorry. I said in my mind, what kind of responsibility did this woman put on me? And she came out with her baby. I looked at two of them and I smiled. I said, you have an opportunity God has given you now to make right that which is wrong. Well, you know what? Not too many people have that chance. If the lady I'm speaking about, the one I spoke about earlier, who was leading worship and translated from there, if she climbed that stage on that day, like it was a normal day, which, like she didn't really make her mind right with God, it means where she will die from is in the midst of worshiping, out of impurity, out of pretense. Now Abraham says, how long will we take this kind of risk? It would have been better that they left your body on the earth and nobody buried it, but your spirit has gone to an eternal secure destination. There are people, they are busy doing massive burials, but they are in hellfire, in torment already. If you understand the pain of the rich man, you will now understand why it is your responsibility to continue to present this message to every one of the persons around you. When you look at them, look at a soul that is on a voyage either to hell or to the celestial city. Don't say they are too young. Tell them about Jesus. How long do we have on earth? How long do we have? People you see in the morning, the next thing you see people gathered in front of their house. And you are looking at it happening for different people. Some of you, even your classmates, your friends. Somebody went to exercise. After training, he now went to the bathroom to go and shower. Inside the bathroom, they just were hearing the shower not often. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Huh? What is going on? Madam opened the door and saw her husband on the ground, dead. So that we don't continue laboring, increasing, multiplying in this world, and then we lose our eternal destination. See, lose anything or don't lose heaven. Miss anything, miss parties, miss services, miss it. Don't miss heaven. There are two ways it can happen for you, either the rapture or by death. if death comes, your own rapture will happen. I've lost a couple of friends in my small lifetime. There are some that I know were not prepared. I know. So when we gathered there, everybody just needed to do a space. Here is next appeal. Some were coming from a party. Remember, we were in school then. They were in a car. They came, they went to a party in the night. They were returning by 2 a.m. And their car somersaulted in front of main gate ABU. And they died on the spot. They were with their girlfriend, the police. And there on the sick bed, Satan came and whispered to him, "The car, you have tried. You have tried. I looked for you for nothing less than 45 years. I didn't get you. Your type is rare. Your types are few. Men like you, I don't see them all the time." So the man died with a smile on his face. When he appeared here, this is his testimony. He saw himself with a robe and a dark stain by his heart. Dark stain. And on the stain it was written, pride. Pride. He began to plead. He began to beg for mercy immediately. He began to see how the procession was about, they were about to sentence him to where he belonged. He started crying for mercy. At that last minute, the devil just helped him to look at his life and see how much he looked back in the last minute. Just to take an appraisal and say, "Not true. Not true. It was not easy. I tried. Tried." He couldn't get him from many other areas, but down to the last minute, he followed him. He was crying for mercy. And he saw that he entered his body back and heard the church people praying around him. Then he shared the story with the elders that were with him and died again. So the only thing mercy did for him is come back. We're not giving you life. Just come and correct one last thing. Ay, Jesus. It's like an examiner giving you your paper and say, just go and cancel this thing that you wrote and bring it back and submit. Last minute, somebody you could not get for 45 years, you are still on his case till the last second. You sneak something into him, then he appeared there. You went to accuse him. Is that not pride? In 100 years' time, nobody in this hall will be here. Nobody. All of us would have entered into a reality of eternal report. Everybody will be measured according to what they have done. A hymn writer says, only remembered by what we have done. There is a realm where our remembrance are kept and captured. And it is the things you did for the Lord. The things you did for the Lord. The houses will become old. The roofs will become rusted. Strangers will buy that house. You will not even believe that that was where you spent your gratuity. The money that your 35 years of service you used to buy. A stranger will buy it and turn it to a hotel. Your legacy on earth is lost forever. Even your gravestone, the erosive effect of wind and rain, it will blot out your name from it. Your family will say, we buried him somewhere around there. They don't even know where they kept him. It means the only place you can capture your identity is inside eternity. And it is the things you did for God. Those are the things you will be remembered for. That you can say like Apostle Paul, I have fought the fight. I have run the race. It means you knew that there were many things you went through. But the price is Jesus. You didn't want to lose. Take the world and give me Jesus. Let husband go. Let wife go. Don't lose Jesus. He's your only guarantee, your only ticket for a guaranteed eternity. Listen, let me share something with you. Your husband, your wife, none of them will have those relationships. They break inside time. No spirit will be addressed as any spirit mother. They will not address you as Mama Nkechi on that great white throne judgment. He says all men will stand. They will stand. Everybody giving account for what they have done. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Anybody. It means whether you are an apostle, if your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, you are casted into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Ah, singer. Whether when you raise songs everywhere scattered, he says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be casted. I fear for these things. That because of fleeting pleasure, a few minutes of gratification, I jeopardize eternity. Oh, my home, heaven, my home. Oh, my home, what a joy to be when I, my beautiful home. Oh, my home, oh, my home, heaven, my home. Oh, my home, what a joy to be when I reach my beautiful home. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Nobody will call you bishop, no apostle, no evangelist. Thou good and faithful servant. Thou good and faithful servant. Listen, let it resonate in your heart. I can leave anytime. It can happen anytime. The only thing you must guarantee is that my way is right with him. So that whether you left by sea, by land, by air, however you went, your eternal destination was secured. It was secured. I kept my testimony with God. You are numbered among those who have made it to the great beyond. Like the prodigal son. Tonight's message is for those who remain within the household of God, who continue to have contact with messages, contact with spiritual environment, but the devil made sure that you are always going out of the house of the Father and coming back. You are out today, tomorrow you return. That up and down spiritual life is equivalent to a prodigal lifestyle. The parable of the 10 virgins. The 10 of them are virgins. Virginity was not what was under question. They are all virgins. But there are virgins that did not carry oil. Their crime was that they did not carry oil. But their virginity, they never lost it. Meaning that even these two children are still sons. Although he is prodigal, he is a son. Even the elder brother that you think he has proper standing, the father, the son, that his heart was not right. Why are you angry that your brother that was dead, your brother that was lost, has now come back? Why does he grieve? Why doesn't the joy of the father, why doesn't it resonate with you? Why are you offended that sinners are being allowed to enter into the household of God? So the second warfare that we must fight, especially within the household, is those of us that have received the message, those of us that have lived upholding the standard of purity. There is another war that came for us. Our own warfare is that particular, you know, capacity to operate like a Pharisee, to become offended at sinners anytime they want to have contact with this great salvation that we are benefactors of. So we will prefer that they die in their sin for enjoying this world, for the fact that they have enjoyed, we have suffered. So how can you eat your cake and have it? The father said, but what are you saying? Your brother was dead, now he is alive, and you are angry. Why are you angry? So they are full of bitterness. they are full of offense and bitterness. Anytime they talk, they are always trying to prove that it is not fair. Those of us who are standing, there is a dichotomy. If I have time, I will show you the doctrine of separation. It is called the doctrine of non-fellowship. You will see where the dividing line is drawn. Even for righteous men, there is also a temptation Satan brings around them. That if you are not careful, you will find out that you are not moved by the agenda of God. You are even offended when possibilities are opened up for Gentiles. I will show you a few things that characterizes this second category of believers. If you are writing very quickly.
Ancient one, ancient light, show me things you are hidden from age to come. Ancient one, ancient light, show me things you have hidden from age to come, that I may not be laboring like a fool, that I may not be laboring like a fool. The labor of fools is wearing them, The labor of fools is wearing them, show me things you have hidden.
Begin to submit yourself again before the cleansing power of His blood. Begin to expose your soul again. Fix my gaze on you, O God. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Wash me, cleanse me, make me pure from within. Make me pure, make me pure. You want me to pray for you and with you? You want to make a lasting decision to hold on to Jesus and to set your gaze on eternal things? Wherever you are, come. 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 God bless you. Come. 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 Come, my brother, come. Gone, many have gone. They've gone into questionable eternity. You have the opportunity today to make a decision for God, a lasting one at that. Everybody who have made their way out, 1 minute. Just tell the Lord what is in your heart. Tell him. Not help myself. If you don't help me, I'm doomed. There are three people. A particular compromise has binded your soul. It has become an addiction. You don't have power over it anymore. And you are telling yourself where you are seated that you know that you will overcome it. The Lord says to tell you, come. Come. You would need divine intervention if you will ever be rid of that ungodly pattern. It is trying to master your soul and take you to untimely eternity. Come, God bless you. Come. Come, God bless you. Come. Come. Just go ahead and talk to God wherever you are. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Privilege to call you Father. Today, your sons and your daughters have returned home. Let your eternal doors be open to them. Please receive these ones. Clothe them with honor. Put a rich ring of his blood. Let that help
Let me. Those things make me pure. Make me pure. Say it as loud as you can. Lord Jesus, once I have sinned, I know I cannot help myself. That my verdict you have done in my come in you. Judgment. Come. I believe in. I am a child of God. Sin has. My. Congratulations. God, I need it. Everybody lift up your hand above your. A particular compromise has binded appeared before you, and their faces were enlightened. In your hour of distress, you would need divine in everything. Come. It seems to be blocked. Just go ahead and talk to those who are afflicted. The sole of your feet, everything my heavenly Father has, I challenge. And a repetitive pattern of near success syndrome. Come, may your heart be saturated with prophetic instructions. May your heart be saturated with prophetic instructions. May your heart be saturated with prophetic instructions. In the name of Jesus. Every death keeping you awake. Every death making you run away from men. Every death that has taken your honor from you. By the power of the Holy Ghost. And by unique prophetic instructions that will be entering your heart as inspiration. In this month of February, I declare your debt canceled in the name of Jesus. There are people who have been wrongly accused. Accusations hanging over their head. Your name is cleared now. Your name is cleared now. Listen. There is somebody here. You were taken to a coven, and they registered a very negative aura around you. Everybody begins to suspect you. Everybody wants to disassociate themselves with you once they are doing well. And even though you contributed in building people up, they forget your labor easily. They don't remember you when they enter their Goshen. And when they enter their Canaan, they are quick to forget your good deeds and they amplify your mistakes. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, there is a new aura the Holy Ghost smell upon you. Listen, the book of remembrance is open for you now. Everywhere you have labored that no result came from, every place you have sweated that no reward came from, now in the name of Jesus, let a new season of all-round remembrance for reward open up for you in the name of Jesus. I see people receiving phone calls. I see people receiving phone calls. Phone calls that will change your life forever. Somebody here is just waiting for one mail. One email. I speak to the heart of kings now. I declare, may you find favor in their sight in the name of Jesus. There is an active coven making sure there is untimely death in the bloodline. Wherever you are, come, let me pray for you. untimely death, untimely death. And then there is this consciousness of the spirit of death. Holy Ghost, by your spirit, by your spirit, by your spirit, we break that hold over such a one. And we scatter the hold over them now. You shall not die in the name of Jesus. You continue to also see yourself in the dreams of the night. You see yourself with the dead. You see yourself with the dead. Those who have died, you see yourself having contact with them. Just run forward quickly. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death. You have no place over him. He is God's hope. The hold is broken now. In the name of Jesus Christ. The hold is broken. In the name of Jesus. There is a special grace that is about to rest upon people now. I'm excited for you. It's called the favor of God. People can literally see the difference in their life as soon as you enter their life. People can literally see the change as soon as you join your hand to that project. The moment you are involved in anything, you bring an atmosphere of favor into it. The favor of God rests upon you as you enter the month of February in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything that makes people small, everything that makes people inconsequential, everything that takes away honor, we judge those protocols. And now, by the hand of the Lord, let favor rest upon you in the name of Jesus. Everything you put your hands to do now will prosper. Please look at your hand. Look at it. Everything you build will be completed. Any project you start, you will finish. Anybody you join yourself with will grow. It will be said of you, like Laban said of Jacob, I know God is blessing me because of you. Anybody you associate with, the favor of God will also implicate them in the name of Jesus. As you meet wicked and ungodly men in February, the same God that preserved you in January, the same God that made it look like they never planned against you, the same God that made it look like Satan is not real. Hi. No weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper. Any tongue that rises against you in judgment is condemned in the name of Jesus. Listen. In the month of February, anybody who digs a pit for you will fall into it. Anybody who rolls a stone against you, to them it will return. In the month of February, you will gather resources from left, right, center. Everywhere you turn, there will be supply for you. In this season of fruitfulness, you will experience supernatural growth in all ramifications in the name of Jesus Christ. I separate you from that ungodly pattern. That's what I hear in my spirit. I separate you from that ungodly pattern. The last time you experienced it will be the last time it will ever happen. That storyline is cancelled in this place in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not inherit anything negative from your background. Listen. You will not fight the battles of another generation. Now, like Solomon, may God give you peace on all sides. I bless your water. I bless your bread. I bless your land. And I bless your body. Diseases ravaging the nations, pestilence, famine, and all kinds of harsh realities. You live in Goshen all your life. I speak to those who are knocking on some doors, just waiting for one response. You already submitted the proposal, you already applied for the job, you already sent application, you are just waiting for a response. Let the door of expectation open for you. You hear me? Let the door of expectation open for you. That young man who is suicidal, I see two people, a man and a woman. You are feeling so depressed, and the suicidal thoughts is welling on your inside. Right now, let the spirit of heaviness leave you now. May the oil of gladness pour upon them. The oil of gladness upon them. The oil of gladness upon them. See your feet. They are gravitating towards wealthy places. See your feet are leading you to your place in destiny. Look at your faces. They are irradiated with the glory of God. People who have never taken note of you for favor, to bless you, suddenly they will realize you have always been around them, because the favor of God is resting upon you now. In the month of February, you will lend to many people. Did you hear me? Your debt will be cancelled and you will give to many people. The seasons of borrowing, of debt, they are over for your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sickness has no place in your body. I'm seeing a woman. I'm seeing you long past menopause. But I see that your hand will carry your baby. I see that he will be a ministry for you. You are going to raise him in the way of the Lord. May the Lord go before you. May the Lord make the crooked places straight. May the Lord break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. May God give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. May your life be saturated by the goodness of God. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead. Take 30 seconds. And prophesy what you will see in your life in February. Prophesy, 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 prophesy. Still open. Prophesy. Don't leave it empty. Prophesy. Thank you.
February. Listen. Obstacles will fall before your joy. All forms of hindrances, limitation, barriers, they fall before your joy. As you celebrated God in this service, your month will be littered with celebrations. He says to see your glory and your power as I have seen in the sanctuary. In the sanctuary, you saw His glory, you celebrated, you rejoiced. Now as you are going out, may rejoicing follow you out. In the name of Jesus. If anybody tell you, what are you doing that is making things work for you? This is where we cook it from. This is how it is prepared. I taught joy. I taught joy. I taught joy. I taught joy. Can somebody make a joyful noise? Hallelujah. When you see any of listening, when you see any Anakazo member in the month of February, when you see any Anakazo member, you will be left with no option than to say congratulations. The Lord in the midst of His people is mighty. Our time is far spent. This is the farthest we have ever reached in all of our services. But I believe strongly in my spirit that the Lord insisted that we touch these things before we go. So to all our global family, those of you here on site and those online, congratulations. I welcome you all to the month of fruitfulness. For want of time, we will not be able to take the announcement. I'll keep that for our Tuesday convergence. Package your offerings, package your tithes quickly. The ushers will work very quickly, very quickly. Package your offerings and your tithes. Listen, listen. Just give me your attention while we do so. Those of us who are leaving, we are closing already. In fact, we have closed. You can give one more minute. It's not too much. By the grace of God, we give because we love God. And giving to us is the opportunity to partner with the agenda of God. There are four ways we give here in Anakazo Missions International. We give in our tithes and in our offerings, which is a communication of our gratitude and a system of checkmating the capacity of Mammon to rule our soul. We also give to our project. We have our sanctuary project ongoing, and we don't want to bother anybody with special announcements and special offerings for that regard. We believe that as God lays it in your heart, you give towards the sanctuary project. We also have giving that is geared towards welfare and outreaches. We have welfare that we do for the less privileged. We give relief materials. We try to communicate, you know, even foodstuff to those who are in need and who don't have. And we also have giving towards evangelism and missions. We have periodic crusades that we host across different regions, and it costs a lot to mobilize the people, mobilize the equipment and all of the other arrangement that goes into preparing for a crusade. And so these are different ways you can partner with us and you can give. God bless you, especially as you do so. Can we pray for our offerings? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because it has pleased you to gather us here. We thank you for everything you have mobilized into our life, even as we enter the month of February, to experience your supernatural fruitfulness. As we give, Lord, provide for all who don't have,
so that they will have to also give to you. And open the heavens over your people. Let an unusual harvest pour for them. Let resources gravitate towards them and let their needs be met. Lord, beyond that, let there be unusual love that you shared in their heart for you and for your agenda here on earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. You can cast your offerings, you can cast your tithes as we receive a brief rendition from the worship team.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us till eternity. Say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus. Everything else can wait. Give me your word. I hope I'm not too late. Oh, give me your word.